So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we've been talking about, yes, I want to say very clearly, I am not preaching blasphemous. I'm not preaching out of the word. There are 66 books in the Bible, and the Bible tells us that we cannot add nor take away. The Bible is complete. If you look to whatever it is, the History Channel or A&E, and they say they have found the missing book of the Bible, hogwash, horse stuff, and everything else, there is no such thing as a book that's not there. I'm going to find somebody agrees with me. I'm going to then go stand beside them. There is no hidden key. See, this is the problem with humanity. We want a word that no one else has. We want a gospel taught to us, knowledge that no one else has. If we could, and I find this in church, if we could just have a revelation, Lord, that no one else has ever had in the history of mankind. And that's what they're looking for. And you want to know when people find a revelation that no one else has or ever have had in the body of Christ, I find that they become granola Christians, fruit, flakes, and nuts. And so the word will never, ever disagree with the word. You will never have a revelation that disagrees with the word or you can't prove in the word. I've heard this before. I have a revelation from God, but I can't prove it by the word. And I normally will tell them, well, it depends on how well I know them. I will normally tell them, hogwash, you're full of it. If it does not line up with the word of God, it is not a revelation from the Lord. Now, God can speak to you certain personal things about your life that you may not be able to say. Yes, God told me to start an orphanage. Yeah, you know, go into something like that. But that's a personal work. That's not a doctrine of the Lord. And we're going to get into that later. But we are to be books. So I'm not telling you that we're adding another book to the Bible. No. But you should be living epistles. You should be the Word of God just like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was the Word made flesh. So if you wanted to know what the word would do in a situation, all you had to do was look at Jesus. And we should be the same way. If you want to know what the word of God will do in heavy traffic, you should look at Joe. I don't know if that's operating in your life right now, Joe, but we should be able to look at you. We should be able to look at each and every one of us, and we should be able to see how God would act in a situation. You should be living epistles of the Word of God. People should know you are different. You act differently. You know, you don't steal extra money out of the till. You don't rip people off at your job so that you can pocket the extra cash that came in. Mm-hmm. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm not going to take what your face right now or your lack of amens or your lack of enthusiasm to say that I'm not doing well. Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you. I don't want your pity. You put that back in your pocket and bring it out at a better time. So in all of this, we should be living the Word of God. We should be living epistles of the Word of God. People should be able to look at us, at our work, in our family and say, you know what? They act a little different. They don't act like everybody else. When all hell breaks loose, everybody else acts this way in the job. You know what's going on at work right now? Nobody even knows if their job is secure and everybody's panicking and all of a sudden everybody's bringing their A game up. But you know, Ryan has always had his A game out. He had, all of a sudden, they're canning people, and Ryan's acting the same he did the moment he started his job. Why? Because he's not working unto man, but he is working unto God. He's accountable unto the Lord. He's not accountable unto a boss. Now, I almost feel like I have to clarify everything I say, but apply the Word of God to your own life, and whatever I say, put it to the Word, and then you'll understand what I'm saying, so I don't have to clarify everything. And what I mean is, you can't absolutely testify and be, you know, have church on your workplace. They don't pay you to have church, they pay you to work. But you work unto the Lord, and you're guided and directed by His Spirit, all right? And so in this, we should be living epistles. Some churches want to take some of the Word out. They want to say that gifts and healings and the baptism of the Spirit of God was for Jesus' day as a sign. And it doesn't work in our society or in our day. It died with the last disciple. Well, the crazy thing is the Bible tells us disciples have always been being made. We're commanded to be a disciple. So if what I can tell, the last disciple has not died yet. Actually, we have more disciples on the face of the earth today than any other time in human history. Ever in the history of mankind have there been so many Christ-like disciples on the face of the earth than today. I'm doing awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor, that's good preaching. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Y'all found 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts. We said this last week, that the time of writing the word of God down on paper and chiseling them in stone is over. It's over. We are to be, it's to be written in our hearts. I'm not saying that you can't have a Bible that's written in paper. No, you should. You should have a Bible that's electronically or written in paper, something. You should have the word of God. But we're not continuing to write extra books. It is now being written on the heart of man. Mankind. So ladies, you're added into that. For as much as ye are manifest declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, hello, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in flesh tablets of the heart. We are an extension of God on this earth. I said this, and we're going to get right into the new thing right after I say this. In religion, there is always a barrier between you and whatever God that they serve. Every religion, there's a barrier between man and God. And man has, and this is the difference between a relationship with the Lord and a religion with a God. In a religion with a God, people will walk on their knees till their knees are bloody. And what man does is man does some works. They give them to God. God approves. God gives the glory back to man. That's religion. Men beat themselves with razor blades until they are bleeding and blood is pouring on the ground. And people look at them and say, well done, well done. And don't mock, you know, other religions. Christianity has it too. Oh, you fasted for how many days? Oh, good for you. You went 27 days. You went 40 days without any meat or you drank only liquids. Oh, praise the Lord. If I was on a 40-day fast where all I could drink liquids is I would grill a steak and blend that sucker up. So, but we look at what we can do in the natural and we give it to God. We expect God to give us glory back and man to look and clap his hands. I'm not knocking fasting here. Don't get me wrong. I think that's a great thing, prayer and all this. But even Jesus said, those who stand in the streets and pray and talk about what they have done, they have their reward. You, what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. Okay. And so there's a difference. There's also a matter of a heart, but that's religion. When I do something publicly, give it to God and expect him to give me back glory. The reason Christianity is different is because we glorify and accept what God has done for us, and it gives God glory because man could never do what it takes to get him in good position with God on our own. We have to accept the work that has already been done and walk it out. Now, I have been telling this and I've had people tell me, you preach this message, people are going to take it too far and they're going to live in sin and they're going to say that it's okay because they've accepted Jesus and they'll allow grace to cover them and blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you something. If I taught doctrine too much, you would take it as legalism and go the other way. So I don't give a rip what people say I should do. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God and preach the truth no matter who will take it one way or the other. You're doing better. I just want to encourage you. You're doing better. And so in all of this, grace does not cover sin or allow you to live in sin. Grace destroys sin. Grace destroys sin. And so grace does not allow you to live in sin. If you're living in sin and you think God is okay with it, you are wrong. God is so serious about destroying sin in your life that he sent Jesus Christ to die for it. And I'm going to tell you something, there's a lot of, I'm not against programs, but there's some things 12-step programs won't help you get out of. that you're going to need something higher and better than a 12-step program. And so we have to be living epistles. We can't take any of the word out and say, well, you know what? I don't like that. And that happens a lot in church today. You know, I don't like that fact. And, it just doesn't work in our society. So let's take that out. We're not living. Oh, yep, shacked up. No, we can't talk about that. That's just the way people live today. Oh, we can't talk about that. No, take that out. Oh, hell, I don't know if I like that either. I don't know. And so they just keep taking out. You heard about the little girl who took her Bible to church and all she had was a cover. There were no pages in the middle. And the pastor asked her, said, what happened to your Bible there? And she said, well, every time you said a scripture wasn't for us today, I ripped it out. I'll let that just sit where it sits. And then we can't, speaking in tongues is not for today. The gifts of God are not for today. Well, they are for today. Okay, I'm so glad. The word of God is for today. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every book points toward Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points toward our Savior. All right. They have different texts. We'll get into it. Let's turn to John chapter 6 and verse 63. Excuse me. We must fill our hearts with the Word of God so that we can become the Word of God to the people around us. So that they can see the God on the inside of us. So they can see the Lord moving and operating in today. That's why we must write it on the tablets of our heart. That's why we must know the word. That's why we must study. That's why we forsake not the assemblies of yourself together, especially in the latter days. Speaking to ourselves in spiritual psalms, testifying one to another. It's building ourselves up that we may be edified. So that the kingdom of God may be built. So John 6 and verse 36, I'm going to read the last part of it. We're going to jump. Yeah, did I say something different? Sorry about that. Find it. It says, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I want you to know something. When the books of the Bible were being written, it was not because any of them sat down and said, you know what I would like to do today? I really would like to go down in history as a man who wrote one of the books of God. So today I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a book of the Lord. No man did that. They were moved by the Spirit of God. They were moved by the Spirit of the Lord. And so this is why we must have a relationship with God. The Bible was not written because, men decided to write the Bible. It was written because they were led by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, how many of you can say, I've been delivered from something? Anybody in this place say, I've been delivered from something? Yeah. Oh, you that don't have your hand raised, I'm so excited for you that you've never gone through anything to be delivered. That's fantastic. But I've gone through some stuff, and God has delivered me out of them. A-L-L. You know what that spells? All. You know what it means in the Greek? All. You know what it means in the Hebrew? All. English? All. Spanish? All. Lord, only at our church. So God has promised us all deliverance. He has promised every generation, every person, everyone, He has promised deliverance. Now, I'm going to get into something that it's going to make you think for a moment. At least it made me think for a moment. Because I was raised in a church that was very religious. You know what I mean by religious. That was very much of, you read something in, I'm going to kill some spiritual cows. You know what spiritual cows are, right? In India, there are cows that are walking the street that you can't move, you can't touch, you can't slaughter because they are holy and people are dying. Children are dying in the country of starvation and there are cows walking around. If my children were hungry, we would be eating a holy cow. I'm not going to let my kids die. But this thing is in the same in Christianity. There are rules and regulations we can't touch. There are crosses that can't be moved down off the wall because it was there. My great aunt Betsy put it up there. And if you touch that, by bless God, we'll move half the church out. We'll take the church and we'll go down to the Second Baptist instead of the First. And they get so spiritual and religious about things that do not matter, that do not matter. And so there are things in the body of Christ that really just do not matter, but they are our sacred cows and we hold on to them. But I want to point this out, that many times we read the Bible, instead of having a relationship with the Lord, we want a system. We want a system with the Lord. We want a function. We want mathematics with the Lord. And I'm going to say I'm guilty of this. I personally am guilty of this. I am a creature of habit. When I go to McDonald's or Burger King, don't hate and discriminate. Don't you hate me because I eat fast food. I don't do it all the time. I did a lot more in KFC, praise God, and Popeye's Chicken. Those are the two holy, sacred places. And so in these places, or in all this, when I go, I order the same thing every time without fail. I'm a creature of habit. I know it tastes good. I like it. I don't want to taste new things. I know what this tastes like. And I've had to come out of that because that affected the whole area of my life. I want to show up and do the same thing at work every day. I want a system. And that wanting a system is a comfort zone for me, so I know things will get done. I will like things and things will be complete on time. I want a system. And many people, instead of a relationship with God, they want a system with the Lord. They want to bow. They want to pray. They want to do a sign. They want to crawl. They want, human man wants to punish themselves for a God so that they can have the outcome that they're looking for. It's not about hurting themselves or denying. It's about a system that will get them from point A to point B. Yeah. That's what they want. They want the answer, and if they know, if I can just do this, if I can just say enough prayers, if I can just give enough money, then the system will work and I will get what I'm looking for. And God never meant for it to be a system. He meant for it to be a relationship. Now I'm going to bring this to the body of Christ and show you how we made a system out of it. Walls of Jericho. How many Jericho marches have you been in? I have. I've been in them. I've been in, everybody, let's march around the church, and then we're going to blow a trumpet, and everybody's going to yell, and you're going to be delivered. How about this one? Send the praisers out. Now, I'm not knocking any of these things, because I think you better be a praiser. You better be a praiser. The word of God will cause you to praise. But we go back to a king who had two armies coming against him. He didn't even know where they were coming for, and he fell on his face before God and said, these armies are going to overtake us. You have got to do something, Lord. He prayed. He fasted. And what happened? God said, send the praise team before the army. Now, I have an opinion on what happened. You want to hear? All right, more yays than nays. So good, I'm going to tell you. Really didn't matter anyway. I'm going to tell you no matter what. And so in this, I have an opinion what happened. These two armies made a deal to destroy Israel. They made a deal. Now, this is where my opinion comes in. You ain't got to take this. This is my opinion. I believe they were marching in their own separate, because you don't mix armies like that. Commanders don't like to mix their armies. Commanders like to be in control of their people. So they have made a deal. We're going to come against Israel. We're going to take it. We'll split it 50-50. Now, this is my opinion. I don't know what they set up. Maybe you take the north side, you take the south side. All the gold, we'll split it 50-50 among the nations. Everything will be good. And so they start marching, and all of a sudden, they know how to fight. And wouldn't it be much easier if God said, find the biggest men you have and send them out front? That would make you feel better. Like, that makes sense. Find all the big swords and guns and everything you have. Put them up front, and when they come, slaughter them. That makes more sense than, hey, let's get the piano player, the drummer, and let's get the singers, and let's get the band out there, and let's have a good old time. And be like, Lord, did I hear you right? And so they did. Now, my opinion is, as these two armies are separated and are marching toward, they all of a sudden hear Israel praising. Not only is Israel praising, but a part of praise of Israel was also in the dance. So Israel is getting down. They're walking with a limp. They're praising. They have, to me, I know it didn't happen like this, but I see New Orleans, you know, where the guys are back and forth and they're dancing in the street. That's what I see. Didn't happen like that, but it kind of, in my mind, it did happen that way. And so all of a sudden, the armies are noticing they're coming against who they're supposed to destroy, and they're singing good news about God. And I can see the commanders talking to each other on each side. What in the world is going on here? Do you think they've double-crossed us? Do you think they are leading us into slaughter? Them in Israel has made a pact to get us out here in the middle of nowhere and destroy us? I bet that's what those jerks did. I never trusted them to begin with. I told the king this was a possibility. You know what we better do? We better make the first strike. We better kill them because they got a bunch of praisers out. The army's way over there. Let's kill them first and then go after Israel second. And if we have to retreat, we will retreat. And I believe both of them, one army attacked the other. There was confusion among the ranks. And the Bible, we do know for sure, is that they killed each other. And then the rest ran away. And Israel got to go get all the gold, all the food, all the spoils. And they didn't do anything but praise. So let me tell you what happens here. The body of Christ, instead of wanting to imitate the spiritual part of it, they imitate the physical part of it. Well, you know, praise is going to bring my victory. Well, I'll tell you what, there is victory in praise. That is without a shadow of a doubt. But sometimes what we need to do is get on our face before the Lord and say, I don't know what to do here. Help me, guide me, direct me. Because he may speak to you like David and say, get up and take the land. And you're over here trying to fake something until you, Lord, I love you, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And you miss the opportunity that God was telling you to get up and take it, and you're trying to praise God when God is saying, take it. The difference is the relationship with the Lord. That is the difference. We're trying to imitate, you know, the Jericho March. It only, God told the people of Israel in the Old Testament to do that one time. Now, don't knock me. Seven times. All right, right? But it was only one time in history that he told them what to do that. Send the praisers out first, only one time in history. Elijah, send down fire from heaven twice in the history of mankind was he told to do that. And we're trying to imitate the action and not the spiritual part behind it. We're trying to imitate what they did naturally, and physically we ignore the relationship with God. Sometimes God will say, send out the praisers, which you should praise all the time. And sometimes God is saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord come to pass. And sometimes he's saying, what do you have in your hands? So we have got to hear from God. We're not here to imitate an action, a physical action done in the Bible. We're here to have a relationship with God and hear from him. And if he says send the praisers out, then praise your butt off. If he says get up and take the land, stop crying, wipe the tears from your eyes, and get up and do something. It will preach. So we're not to copy the stories. And that's what happens too many times, because we want a system. Can I tell you why a system's easier than a relationship? Because a relationship, then it becomes our fault. Have you ever been at fault in a relationship? A marriage, a friendship, with your children. You did something and it was wrong and you knew it and it was your fault. It was your fault. This is the reason why people want systems, is because if they do the system and it doesn't work, it's not their fault. And then we can blame God. We can blame other people. It's never us. And we are in a nation, a society of winebags who don't want to stand up for their own problems. I don't know why this always happens to me. I don't know why I'm always in debt. I've ran to 50 cities, and every city they fight me, and I get in debt, and I try to start over, and everything is always wrong. The devil's trying to hurt me. No, you keep spending more than you have. There's always so much drama because you're looking for it. You get involved in it, and you allow it into your life. But I don't know why there's drama everywhere I go. I do. It's you. It's you, it's you, it's you. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you. I'm coming to the back. I see that now. The back is enjoying this much more than the front. And so in all of this, a lot of times we want to blame something when a lot of times we're at blame ourselves. Yes, there is an enemy. Yes, sin and attacks all ultimately come from the enemy. But God says, I give you life and death this day. Choose life. Your past may be unfair, but your future is no longer unfair. It is bright because God is in it. No longer can we blame the past, but we must buck up and face the future head on with a relationship with the Lord. And fire will fall, we will stand still, praise before the army, get up and take the land. All these things will happen, but it's not going to come because we're imitating man. It comes because we have a relationship with the Lord. I remember Bible college. Oh, my goodness. I went to Rhema and Kenneth Hagin. Y'all remember wonderful Dad Hagin. I have to clarify, Dad. Did I say that correctly? Because when I first got here and started talking about Dad Hagin after he passed away, apparently I had a twang in my voice. I don't hear it. Do you hear it? No, I didn't think so. And people thought I was saying Dad Hagin. The dead one. Because I was calling him Dad Hagen. Papa Hagen. I'll call him that so you get it. But they were all saying, he is so rude. How dare he talk about Kenneth Hagin that way? But yes, he has passed on and gone on to be with the Lord. But he had a humpback. Did y'all ever notice that he would bow like this in prayer? Well, people thought that was spiritual. So they would get under the anointing, and all these Bible colleges students would walk around going, hallelujah, glory to God, all hunched over. Because they are imitating. And I'm not against, when Eliana, my daughter, imitates me, it blesses my heart. So I'm not knocking imitation. But you can almost tell who's in whose camp by how they praise God and what they do. You can tell the Benny Hinn crowd, fire! And, you know, they wave their hands and everybody falls. You know, you can tell these camps by the way they act. They're imitating a method. And we should be trying to imitate the relationship. Not that it won't be similar to something, but I'm telling you, it is a relationship. It is not a religion. It is not a method. It's your relationship with the Lord. So this is what happens in the body of Christ way too many times. Somebody gets healed doing what God said. Then they get on TV and they say, this is the way the Lord did it for me. I'll tell you what, if you give a love gift right now of $499, I'm going to package this all up and tell you what God told me. And you're going to need to eat certain ways. And you're going to need to do this. And you're going to need to do that. Exercise. And you're going to need to take some holy water from the holy land that I got, the Lord led me to do. And I'm not going to knock somebody who was led that way. I don't know. I'm not here to judge another man's servant. But I will tell you something. You can't package how it comes to you. My mother had cancer. Many of you know her story. Today she lives cancer free. And I can... She went for her, what was it, fourth or fifth year? I don't know. And she is clean, clean, clean. They said they can't even, the normal levels, because, you know, there's like traces in the normal human being of cancer. They said, we can't even find the normal levels of what it should be. You are so unbelievably below being able to have cancer in your body. And so she followed God. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, now listen, the way the Lord led you is not for everybody. So don't teach your experience as doctrine. And I had to remind her several times because she began to tell me how I had to eat. And I thought, you take care of your bodies. I take care of mine. This is a good-looking body. Just ask my wife. Because I have to ask her every once in a while. And so I want to take care of this so she has something good to look at. All right, come on. I'm giving you great opportunities to laugh, but you're not taking them. Because you're like, is he serious? I don't know. You're like, somebody needs to talk to him. No. I believe you should take care of your body, but you should listen to the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. I had a minister tell me, now God spoke to me and told me to get off coffee. And I had to get off and I felt better and everything is wonderful. You need to quit that stuff. And I looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. If God tells me to give up coffee, we will adopt a new addiction. But we will give up coffee. We'll give it up. But the problem is we can't have the Lord speak to us about something and think that that's for everyone. It's not for everyone. All right, we need to get to a scripture here. I need to prove this to you on this. So turn with me to John. John chapter 4 and 34. When you get there, say amen. Now, we must seek God and His Word. And then when we hear this, as the Lord commands, we need to take the commandment of God and go forward. Now, we have all the books point toward a Savior. I've said that. And my question to you this morning is, what makes your book unique? What makes your book unique? Mine's unique. Most of you don't even have to ask what makes mine unique. You look at me and be like, Pastor, you are unique. I want to tell you a joke that I heard in elementary that I actually still remember. And I love it. Do you know how to catch a unique bird? Unique up on him. You know how to catch a tame bird? Tame way. You unique up on him. All right. I've never forgotten that one. I love that. And so we are all unique. We are all unique, but we're all the same. Isn't that, that's almost like an oxymoron. That's almost like you just kind of think about that a little bit. It makes your brain go tilt. We're all the same, but we're all different. And so what makes your book different? I'm going to tell you something. Jessie, my wife, her book's different than mine. Joe's book's different than mine. The Clayson's books, theirs is different than mine. It's different. And I'll tell you something else. What works for the Clayson's might not work for me. That's all right. We got to get into that now. All right, let's go. I see we've got to get into this. And I want to say this too. We must choose the word over everything. We must choose the word over instant gratification. The church needs to hear that. Forget the world needs to hear it. The world needs to hear Jesus. The church needs to hear. We need to choose the word over instant gratification. And that goes from everything to what's on the internet, to TV, to the pecan pie. Lord, say it's not so. Because we need to keep our body the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you can't have pecan pie, but it shouldn't be one pie every meal. I'm not saying you can't even eat a whole pie. I will tell you, when I go home for Thanksgiving, my mom makes 3 pecan pies, and one of them is mine, and the other one, half of it is. And I literally, I get a spoon, and I eat out of the middle, and that's my pie. And I'm pretty sure I have one sliver of ham, and then I eat the whole pie. And I don't do that every day. As much as I would love to. Now, y'all found John 3 and 34? It says, 4, excuse me, John 4 and 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, now what he means by meat here is my mission in life, what I'm called to do, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I want to say 2 things here. One, the word will never disagree with your calling, with your mission. The word will never disagree. I've had people tell me God has spoken to me a special word. And it is not provable. It actually seems to go against what the Bible says. Thank you for laughing, because that's insane. That's insane. I had a Bible student tell me, well, you know, we're engaged, so it's okay. Oh. No. Yeah, y'all know where I'm going with that. Nope. Nope. I'm going to say it one more time. Nope. No, it's not okay. No, it's not okay. It's still breaking the word of God. Well, the Lord has ministered unto me. No, 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 no. The Lord has not ministered unto you. You have ministered unto yourself. The children of Israel, when they went out, were delivered, and Moses went up on the mountain. What did they do? They ministered to themselves. They made golds of idols unto themselves. Because they look to it as the answer. God is not something you can add to your whole temple of other gods. It is him and him alone. All right, I'm glad I said that. So you cannot, if it does not line up with the word of God, if actually the word of God disagrees with what you say the Lord has spoken to you, you have misheard, you are wrong. And I would even dare to say your flesh is louder than your spirit. All right. Have y'all found John 3? So my mission, my meat in life, is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Now notice something here. The will and the work. These are 2 different things. And the body has always thought, or not always, but a lot of the body has thought they're one. They're 2 different things. The will of God is the same for all of us. It's his word. It is his word. But there is a work that is different and unique for every one of us. So, and how we find the work of the Lord for us is spending time in our relationship with the Lord. Not formulas, but spending time with our relationship with God. Spending time in his will, which is his word. It dumbfounds me. It literally dumbfounds me how many people will tell me that they have the will of God for their life is different than the word of God. The word of God gives all these rules to everyone else, all these ways of how to live holy, how to apply the Bible to yourself, but it doesn't apply to me because of my circumstance. I know, you're looking at me like I'm insane. I look at them the same way because they are. It's absolutely nuts. Well, I get a skip on this one. Because God understands my circumstances. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Let me tell you something. You are not facing any circumstances that someone else has not faced. Everything, that is a lie of the devil. No one's ever gone through what I've gone through. I'm so alone. You sound like a prophet. Now, not all prophets. I'm not knocking prophets, but there's a prophet in the Bible who said, Lord, they dug down your altars, and I have had to run for my life, and I'm hiding in a cave right now. They seek to kill me, God. I'm all alone. This is the same man who brought fire down from heaven, who have seen miracles time after time again. And what was God's answer to him? There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. Now get up and do something. Get up and do something. There are people. I'm not going to go to it, but I'll tell you what it says. It says, according to the election of grace. The word election means the power or privilege of making a choice. Grace, and that definition there, means to be cheerful, to be joyful, to be happy based on what you know and not the circumstances surrounding you. You have a word of God on the inside of you, and God is speaking to you just like he's speaking to the prophet. Get up and make a decision because you know me. That was the answer of the Lord. You know me. My relationship with you. You know I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let you die. Yeah, it came to 1,000 over here and 10,000 over here. But it won't come nigh to you. You know that. Get up and make a decision to know that I am your Lord. And I will not allow it to happen to you. I can't help what happened to Buddy. And I can't help what happened to Susie. And I can't help what happened to Ray Ray and any of the rest. Of them. I can't help that. That's between them and me. Now, you know me. Make a decision. Make a decision. I believe that is what God is speaking to the body of Christ this morning. Live out my word. Yes, the media. Yes, everything. If you listen to everything, you'll go batty. You'll go absolutely batty. Now, listen, you know me. You're going to make it. You're going to do well. Not only are you going to survive in this world, but you're going to thrive in this world. We're going to conquer and overtake the enemy. We're going to spread the kingdom to the nation. We have one last push before he comes, and it's going to be a great church that he's looking for. One more powerful than the one he left. This is the church. This is our position. This is our relationship. Not to be beat up wimps looking to be politically correct, but stand firm on the word of God, not bowing to whatever is the world thinks is right, but making a stake, standing our claim, having better families, better businesses, better relationships, being solid emotionally. Not being flaky, not running back and forth, not being like in James, it says, an unstable, a double tongue, someone who is constantly saying two different things, speaking from both sides of the mouth, standing in the word and standing in fear, because love will cast out all fear. Standing in the word and saying, God, let me tell you something, I've gone through some hard things. I know that shocks a lot of people. But I've faced some very hard stuff, and there have been times in my life, even recently, where I've had to tell the Lord, I have no idea how to get out of this. I have no idea what your answer is. I can't even think of a scripture that applies to this. But all I can do, Lord, is say, I trust you. I don't care how this plays out. I trust you. I trust you. You are solid. You have never failed me. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. And I know I will be able to read the scripture and be able to say, I have been young and now I am old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Father, I know you. I may not know the situation or how it ends, but I know you. And you, my relationship with you, it's solid. It's solid. I don't know if you came from a good background with good parents, but I did. And I'm so thankful of that. And I'm going to tell you something right now. My mama loves me with everything. She's saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But if she knows you hurt me, she'll kill you, hide the body. And when God asks where you are, she'll say, I'm not my brother's keeper. She loves me. If me and you were hanging off of a cliff and we were both hanging on to her, if I begin to slip, you better be prayed up. Because if you don't let go, she'll shove her foot in your face and push you down. That might be a little too graphic for a lot of you, but my mama loves me and will do everything to keep me safe. That's why I can't tell mom everything. She wants to keep me safe. And that love to keep me safe, God's love is greater. God's love is greater than my mama's love. That same tenacity to keep you safe and keep you uplifted. When you begin to know God, he'll be there. He'll say, son, I'm not going to let you go. If the enemy tries to hold on to you and I got you and you feel like you're hanging on the bottom of a cliff, I'm going to knock those little evil things right off of you. They're going to fall to their death. What they meant to destroy you will destroy them. And see, this is it. Do not make the mistake of finding God's mercy and grace as acceptance. And what I mean by that is there will be people that do you wrong, and God is giving them every opportunity to do it right, to get out of the way and leave you alone. Because the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. He doesn't want to discipline people. He doesn't want to destroy people's life. He doesn't want a catastrophic event coming in someone's way. You may want that for them. I've been in churches where they pray it. Lord, make them sick. May they puke out their own guts. May they be violently sick. Lord, shake their world. Turn it upside down. Get them, Lord. And they pray this stuff on people. They tried to think that that's the will of God. God will give them every opportunity to get out of the way. But there comes a point where his covenant with you must be established. And if someone has to be physically moved, that is what will happen, because nothing can stop your covenant with God. So if someone's still bothering you, you pray, you just know. God is giving them an opportunity to move and make the right choice. I've even had someone tell me one time, my boss treated me like crap, and then he gets a promotion. And they got sad. I said, you know what God did? God did a miracle for you. He moved him. And you're not seeing it as a miracle of God. You're seeing it, how does he get blessed? I keep getting held down. No, God answered your prayer. What did you want him to do? Get in a car wreck? What did you want God to do? Destroy him? No, God moved him. And he used an avenue to do it. So do not mistake God's grace and his mercy as acceptance of a way people have treated you. He's given people every opportunity, just like he's given you. Just like he's given you every opportunity to get your stuff together and your heart is right and walk out. He wants people to succeed in life, not to be destroyed. If God be for you this morning, who can be against you? I want to encourage you to work on your relationship with the Lord. Work on your relationship with the Lord. Not a method with the Lord. A relationship with the Lord. You're not going to have a relationship with God. I'm so hard to find paper Bibles anymore. Thank you. I'm looking around. Everybody has electronic Bibles. And you're going to have to be in the Word. The relationship's not going to come without this. If you think your relationship's going to come without this, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. It comes from knowing the Word. It comes from knowing the Word, and then your relationship, you live it out. Thank you, sir. And I closed it. Sorry. Your relationship comes with knowing the Lord, walking it out, and you become the living Bible to other people. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. Help us to see our place. And let us understand that even when we don't think people are looking, they're